What's ahead for our property markets in 2022? Even though the situation is improving, clearly we are still going to have continuing issues with COVID-19, and that'll affect our local economy in the new year. And the socio-political problems that have plagued the world over the last few years, well, they're unlikely to disappear, are they? Yet most analysts and economists agree that our property markets should perform strongly in 2022. But the markets won't be the same. Capital growth won't be anywhere near as strong as it was in the last year. And we're likely to end up with a two-tier property market. So what lessons can we take from 2021 to make 2022 a better year? That's what I'm going to discuss today as I share 21 lessons from 2021. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Each year brings its own set of wins, challenges and lessons to learn, and 2021 was certainly no exception. It's been an extraordinary year, hasn't it? Looking back at this time last year, we thought we had this COVID thingy licked, didn't we? But then look what transpired. Nobody could have foreseen all that's happening, including the coronavirus, its economic fallout, and the way our lives changed. But as we head into 2022, I can't help but reflect on what Australia as a country has accomplished and what I've achieved personally and what our company Metropol's done, what I've overcome, the lessons I want to carry into the new year. So today I'd like to share with you my top 21 lessons for 2021. And the first one is to expect the unexpected. Look, every year an unexpected X factor comes out of the blue to undo the best laid plans. Now, sometimes it's on the upside. Like, remember that miracle election in the middle of 2019? And sometimes it's on the downside, like COVID-19 or the Delta strain of COVID this year. Now, strategic investors try and protect themselves from these surprises by owning the best assets they can, by having financial buffers in place to ride through the ups and downs of the cycle, by setting up the right ownership structures, by insuring themselves, and by obtaining holistic advice from their consultants. But the biggest risk is one that nobody sees coming, because I guess if one sees it coming, you tend to be prepared for it, don't you? But if no one's prepared for it, its damage will be amplified when it arrives. While an X factor comes every year, it seems to, every now and then, probably every decade or so, a major black swan event, as some call it, comes, one that breaks the world. And that tends to happen every decade, like COVID did this time around. The second lesson I'd like to share with you is focus on the long term. The strong performance of both our property markets and our share markets showed us that you really have to ignore the many property pessimists, those so-called experts trying to chase a headline that made all those predictions. Don't make 30-year investment decisions based on the last 30 minutes of news. How often have you heard me say that to you? Strategic investors have a long-term focus, and they don't change their plans based on what's happening now. In fact, they don't buy investments that are working now. They buy investments in the type of assets that have always worked. In other words, don't chase the next shiny toy or the next hotspot. Now, clearly this was the thinking behind Warren Buffett's quote, "Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful." But while it's easy to say, it's not really that easy to do. In my regular blogs on Property Update and in this podcast and on my YouTube channels, I called the bottom of the market in October 2020. And I even recommended investing in sound locations during the more challenging times earlier on in the pandemic in 2020. Now, of course, anyone who took my advice, and hundreds of clients of Metropol did, they're looking pretty smart at the moment, as in many cases the values of their properties have increased by, well, much more than 25%. So the lesson is focus on the long term. Don't pay attention to the short-term news. And it leads into the third lesson, which is it's the media's job to entertain you, not to educate you. Remember, it's their job to get eyeballs on their advertisers' content rather than to educate you. However, when the pandemic first hit, many of us watched the 6 o'clock news and then the 7 o'clock news just to see if anything different was reported, and then maybe the 7:30 report to get another angle on what was going to happen to our health, to our economy, and to our property markets. At the same time, my inbox kept dinging with alarmist messages that were uninformed or unbalanced. Think about it. How many of those expert forecasts came true? But look how many people worried, how many people stressed about the potential outcomes that just didn't occur. And unfortunately, being overwhelmed with this information led many people to live in a state of fear and anxiety, and it actually caused some to make disastrous investment errors. So the lesson is, it's not the media's job to entertain you. The next lesson I'd like to share with you is take economic forecasts with a grain of salt. Remember all those forecasts that unemployment would reach 10%, 12%? What about the forecast that property values would plummet, would drop 20% or more? Well, they didn't come to fruition, did they? Similarly, if you're reading something frightening in the business section or hearing it on TV or learning it from your neighbour, it's almost certainly too late to act because the information's already reflected in the market, either in the share price or the property market. So take economic forecasts with a grain of salt. I find it reasonably easy to make short-term forecasts and long-term forecasts with the long-term trends, but the medium-term ones, gee, there's too many factors involved, and that's why most people get it wrong. The fifth lesson I'd like to share with you of my 21 lessons for 2021 is don't believe the doomsayers, because there's always going to be somebody out there telling you not to invest in property. Last year in 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, the doomsayers, they found their moment and they told us how the property markets would crash. Of course, they were wrong. Now they're at it once again, talking about inflation, about rising interest rates, about mortgage defaults, how that's going to create a crash in the property market. So don't listen to the property pessimists. Don't listen to the negative Nellies, the so-called experts looking for a headline who keep telling anyone who's prepared to listen to them that real estate Armageddon is ahead of us. Now, there's nothing new about these doomsayers. They've been peddling their forecasts for quite a few decades. There's always going to be somebody out there wanting to stall the aspirations of their fellow Australians who are looking to take their own financial control in their own hands and do something about it. So don't let them stop you achieving your financial dreams. The doomsayers are always wrong, well, at least in the long term. The next lesson I'd like to share with you is no one really knows what's going to happen to the property markets. Look, so be careful to whose forecast you listen to. I guess you've already realised there are 25 million property experts in Australia. Everyone seems to have an opinion about property, don't they? But you know what they say about opinions. They're like belly buttons. Everyone's got one, but they're basically useless. So be careful who you listen to. Of course, last year, even the respected economists got their predictions wrong when they predicted significant drops in our property market. And even earlier this year, most of the economists didn't foresee how strong our property markets would grow. So as a real estate investor, while it's important to have mentors, make sure you're listening to somebody who's not only built their own substantial property portfolio, but somebody who's kept their wealth through a number of different property cycles. There are just too many enthusiastic amateurs out there offering investment advice at present. There are so many beginners out there who've done a short course and suddenly they're experts and suddenly they're buyer's agents. The seventh lesson, of course, is that there's no such thing as an Australian property market. There are multiple markets around Australia and each state is at a particular stage of its own property cycle. And even within each state, there are multiple sub-markets depending upon price points, upon geography, and upon the type of property. This means that despite all Australians enjoying the same low interest rate environment at the moment, the same tax system, the same federal government, some property markets outperformed others significantly in 2021, didn't they? But there's nothing new about this. Local factors have always driven property market performance. So my suggestion to you is avoid paying attention to the commentary that gives broad generalizations about the Australian property market or even the Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane property market. The eighth lesson that I want to share with you of my 21 lessons for 2021 is don't try and time the market. Even though they're armed with all the research available in today's information age, economists never seem to agree where our property market's heading. And they usually get their forecasts wrong, don't they? That's because market movements, they're far from an exact science. It's just much more than the fundamentals. You know, they're reasonably easy to quantify. It's much more than that that moves the markets. One overriding factor the experts can't quantify, they can't, is investor sentiment. So rather than timing your investment purchases or sales, if you buy the right investment-grade assets, time in the market is much more important than timing the market. And if you think about it, the top and the bottom of the market are really only 1 or 2 days or weeks or months in the cycle. Don't try and pick them. The ninth lesson is the crowd is usually wrong. Crowd psychology influences people's investment decisions, but often to their detriment. Investors tend to be more optimistic near the peak of the cycle, you know, at a time when they should be more cautious. And they're the most pessimistic when all the doom and gloom is in the media near the bottom of the cycle, when if you think about it, there's less downside, least downside. Market sentiment is a key driver in property cycles, and it's one of the reasons why our markets overreact. They overshoot the market in booms, they get too depressed during slumps. Remember, each property boom sets us up for the next downturn, just as each downturn sets the scene for the next upswing. The 10th lesson is property investments became a finance with some houses thrown in the middle. How often have you heard me say that? Now, while low interest rates and easy access to loans drove our property markets over much of 2021, the rules of the game are changing, with APRA once again interfering to slow down our housing markets. Moving forward, it's likely APRA is going to bring in even further macro-prudential controls. This means now's a great time to speak to an investment-savvy mortgage broker to ensure you've got the right finance in place for your existing property loans. Maybe you should consider locking in a portion of your interest rates at today's low interest rate. I'm not saying interest rates are about to go up, but I find fixing a portion of my loans a way of protecting my cash flow, giving me some certainty. Don't try and time the interest rate cycle. The next lesson, and it's another fundamental lesson, is invest for capital growth. That should be the key driver for any of your investment decisions rather than cash flow. Sure, cash flow is important and it's going to keep you in the game, but it's capital growth that gets you out of the rat race. So smart investors first build their equity and then they convert it to cash flow. At Metropole, our 40-year analysis of investment returns show that properties with higher rental returns generally deliver overall lower returns for investors. Our analysis proved that over the medium to long term, properties with lower rental returns, but ones that had stronger capital growth, delivered significantly higher overall returns. That's the capital growth and the rental return. While cash flow properties, those with higher rental returns, overall delivered lower returns. What this means is that for those people who invest in affordable suburbs that deliver a high rental return, and those people who've got an expectation of strong overall returns, saying, okay, I've got a bit more cash flow, not as much capital growth, I'm going to be okay, they get the exact opposite result of what they're expecting. This also highlights the significant opportunity cost that you have if you've got underperforming assets in your portfolio. Remember, if you can only afford, I don't know, 2 or 3 properties, make sure they're all investment-grade properties and that they're working hard for you. Moving forward, I can see we're going to have a 2-tier property market. In many locations, property values have already increased over 25%, and they're going to do more over the next year or so. But wages growth has been minimal. This means the average Australian won't have more in their pay packet to be able to pay, I don't know, another $200,000, $300,000 for a property. If coronavirus has taught us anything, it's the importance of living in the right property in the right neighbourhood. In our COVID normal world, people are going to pay a premium to be able to live close to work close to, in a 20-minute neighbourhood, live in a 20-minute bike ride, drive, walk from their home to have all the amenities they want. They're going to look for things like shopping, business services, education, community facilities, recreation, sporting resources, and maybe even jobs, all within that 20-minute reach. Residents of these neighbourhoods have come to appreciate the ability to be out and about on the street, socialising, supporting local business, involved with local schools, enjoying local parks. So as obtaining finance becomes more difficult moving forward, it'll be the people with money that'll drive our property prices. Not just locals living in the area, but people who want to move into these better locations. You see, there's always going to be wealthy Australians, people who are going to be able to and prepared to pay to live in these better locations. If you think about it, rich people don't buy cheap properties. Currently, the high end of our property market's leading property price growth. It didn't at the beginning of the cycle, but it's leading it as it always does. And the gap's only going to widen between the more expensive suburbs and the affordable ones. The 12th lesson is there's always going to be a reason not to invest. Every year brings its own set of crises and lots of reasons not to invest. Look, you can go back as far as you want in history. Every year there's been some issues, some crisis. Sure, some years are worse than others, but there's always bad news, and much of it unexpected. So where investors get in trouble is that rather than focusing on the long term, like I mentioned before, they see these crises as, I don't know, once in a generation events that are going to alter the course of history, when in reality, they're just a normal part of history. I'm working my way through 21 property lessons, investment lessons, life lessons that I learned in 2021 or relearned in 2021 that I want to share with you to make 2022 a great year in property. And another one is property investment is risky in the short term, but secure in the long term. Look, the last decade reminded many property investors in real estate that real estate isn't a way to get rich quickly. Now, sure, over the last year, property values increased over 30% in Sydney, middle 20%, 26% in Brisbane, close to 20% in Melbourne. Yeah, but in fact, if you look at it beforehand, there was a long period between the last property cycle peak, 2017, and October 2020, when property prices remained flat and actually fell in many locations. Yet those who stayed in the game used the power of compounding, and that helped them build their wealth. But building wealth takes time. I found the average investor takes about 30 years to become financially independent. Now, I know that's not what you want to hear, but most don't even make it there because they don't stay the distance, in part because they don't have good cash flow management either. Many people get into property investment to try to improve their cash flow position. If they don't have good money habits to start with, taking on more debt only compounds their problems. So how can you make it more likely for you to be financially secure, not to have to wait 30 years to be in that small group of investors who own a significant property portfolio? Now, remember, of the 2.1 million property investors in Australia, just over 20,000, less than 1%, own six or more properties. And a lot of those own dud properties anyway, so they're not even good. But having the right team on your side, using the right systems, using the right framework, not trying to do it on your own, is one way to minimize your risks. Of course, you've got to own the right properties, you've got to own them with the right structures, you've got to have the right financial buffers in place. But why not have a chat with my team at Metropole to help put a strategic plan together for you? So a lot of clients come to us, or prospective clients come, and they say, how much are your fees and where should I buy? And that's the wrong questions, because we actually don't even start talking about the property until we understand where they are in their life, where they want to get to, what their goals are, how much passive income they want, what their risk profile is, what their plans are. Are they going to move house? Are they going to have a baby? What their time frames. So, as I said, property investment is risky in the short term, but secure in the long term if you stick to a plan. If you don't have a plan, when the ups and downs of the market come, you tend to let emotions carry you away. You tend to make mistakes. And that's why it's great to have the team like mine at Metropole on your side. Why not go to metropole.com.au and find out a bit about what we do and how we could help you. By the way, we don't sell property, so therefore we can give independent and holistic advice. We start by putting a strategic plan together for our clients, and then you may choose to use our buyer's agency, wealth advisory, financial planning, property management, renovations, development, business advisory divisions. I don't know what services would be of benefit for you, but why not have a chat to see how you can make 2022 a great year for you by having my team on your side. Go to metropole.com.au. Back to the lesson. Sorry I got carried away there, but I just know the importance of having a team around you. But the next lesson I'd like to share with you is you should plan for the worst and look forward to the best. Because as a property investor, I protect myself from the challenges that our property markets bring to us. I was prepared for the pandemic. Now, I didn't know the pandemic was coming. I didn't know what it was, but I know that there's always factors that are going to come out of the blue. So I did so by owning the right assets, investment-grade properties in desirable locations. I did so by having multiple streams of income from a diversified property portfolio of residential, commercial, and industrial properties in different states as well as shares. Now, you can't initially have diversification as you start off, so therefore you've got to have the right assets because property investment is lumpy. So I also own my assets in the correct structures that protect my interests and that were tax effective. I had set up financial cash flow buffers to see me through difficult times. Interestingly, I didn't need them, but they were there in case I did. And I have protected myself and my assets with adequate insurance policies. So my recommendation to you is plan for the worst, but look forward to the best. As I said, I didn't have to rely on these protections, but I put them in place long before the challenging times occurred. And having them in place helped me sleep much better when the problems over the last couple of years occurred. But I've learned to protect myself, my investments, because I don't make forecasts. I didn't know when this was going to happen, but I have expectations. Now, there's a big difference between forecasts and expectations. You may have heard me say it before, so please excuse me if you have. But you see, I expect there's going to be another recession in the next decade, but I don't know when it's going to happen. I expect the property market to boom for another year or two, and then prices are going to slow down and in some areas crash. Well, not crash, but go down a bit. But I don't really know when that's going to be. I mean, look at all the economists. They keep changing their forecasts as well. I expect that some of my investments won't work as well as others, but I don't know which they are. I expect interest rates will rise. Now, I don't think they'll happen for another year or two. In fact, I don't know when. I expect there's going to be another world financial crisis at some time, but I've got no idea when it'll happen. Now, again, these aren't contradictions. They're not a form of cop-out. As I said, there's a big difference between an expectation and a forecast. An expectation is the anticipation of how things are likely to pay out in the future based on my perspective of how things worked in the past. And fortunately, having invested for over five decades, I've got reasonably good perspective. So the expectation is the anticipation of something going to happen, while a forecast is really putting a time frame on that expectation. Of course, in an ideal world, it would be fantastic to forecast what's ahead for our property markets with a great level of accuracy. Now, I think I can do that in the short term, and I think I can do it for the long term because that's much easier, but medium-term forecasts are very difficult. Now, sure, there's all those statistics that are easy to quantify, but what's hard to identify exactly is how millions of strangers are going to act in response to the prevailing economic and political environment. So I know every year an X factor is going to crop up, so I plan for the worst, but I expect the best. The 15th lesson I'd like to share with you of my 21 lessons for 2021 is you can't rely on one stream of income. Now, you've probably noticed that successful investors, business owners, and entrepreneurs, they enjoy multiple streams of income. They strategically go to great lengths to make sure that they've got money coming in from all directions. In other words, they don't have all their eggs in the one basket. Unfortunately, many Australians learned this lesson the hard way over the last couple of years, with some unfortunately losing their jobs, others having to work fewer hours, having their work hours cut back, yet others losing their life savings as many small businesses went broke over the COVID period. And even though we're through the worst of the economic downturn related to this COVID pandemic, there's always going to be issues to contend with. Look, it may not be a pandemic next time. It could be personal health issues. It could be your inability to work. Sure, it's hard enough for some people to figure out how to create a single source of income, let alone multiple streams of income. But in my mind, you've got no choice. Rather than relying on your job as an income source, become financially fluent, learn to invest, develop multiple streams of income. Now, another lesson I'd like to share with you, and I've said it in a slightly different way before, is there's always risks associated with investing. So don't be afraid of failing, because the biggest risk is not doing anything to protect your financial future. Sometimes negative experiences, mistakes, and failures can be even better to learn success because they teach you something new, something that another win, a success may not actually teach you. However, we're often so driven to get things right that we fail to see the value in when we get things wrong. Now, none of us like to fail. Instead of that, we wish things had been different, or maybe the fear of not doing anything is paralyzing you from doing things. If you get it wrong, and you will, learn from your mistakes and make it count by doing it better, by doing it differently next time. One failure can, with time, help create many successes. The 17th lesson I'd like to share with you today is cautious optimism is better for your investment health than being a permanent pessimist. Look, life isn't fair. Get used to it. But having said that, optimists are more successful in all areas of their life than pessimists. And so-called realists, who are just pessimists in disguise, don't do as well as optimistic people. And this is just as important in the realm of investing. Now, this doesn't mean that you should just walk around smiling all day and be unnecessarily happy. It does mean, though, that you should have an ability to look at any situation, and while it might be tough, you're able to look around the corner and see the possibilities rather than the difficulties. Those who've got high expectations usually rise up to meet them. The 18th lesson I'd like to teach you today is that time is a limited resource, so don't waste it. We've all got 1,440 minutes every day, but some of us squander it, waste it, or don't use it efficiently. The last couple of years reminded us how truly valuable time is when they took the opportunity to do things that we enjoyed away from us. You can lose money, and you can get it back. If you're sick, hopefully, usually, you get your health back. But once time's gone, it's gone. It's irretrievable. So start to capitalize on the time that you have and get a whole lot more done. Now, the problem is many people confuse moving with progress. Just because you're doing a lot doesn't mean you're getting a lot done. I found many people just seem like they're running in the same place, aren't they? Interestingly, work from home over the last couple of years has taught me to be much more efficient. I get lots more done in those 1,440 minutes I have every day. Another way of looking at time was brought home to me in 2021, and that is that life is short. On some level, most of us know that life is short, but 2021 and the lockdowns taught us and solidified the fact that we don't get a second chance, and the importance of truly appreciating what we've got, who we've got, is important. So be grateful for the things you've got in life and enjoy it. The 19th lesson, as we get through our 21 lessons for 2021, is the only certainty is change. Look, we all face changes every day, whether it's simply a change in the weather or something as significant as another wave of the coronavirus pandemic that we got throughout the year. Changes are a normal part of life. The problem is most of us don't like change. We like certainty. However, learning to expect changes brought me hope during the challenging and the unexpected life events that I've gone through. I've come to realize that it's not the circumstances, it's not the change that dictate how my life will go, but rather how I handle those changes, how I handle those disruptions. Rather than worrying about all the changes occurring, I've learned the concept of having a useful belief about changes, something I learned from Chris Helder, a great coach, who said, have a useful belief. Have a useful belief in what's happening to me and see the good in what's coming out of all this. The more I feel in control of my life, the more comfortable I feel and the better I perform in all areas of my life. The second last lesson I'd like to leave you with today is worry better. Fact is, most of the things you're going to worry about, most of the things you fear, never will happen to you. They're just monsters in your mind. And if they do happen, they're most likely to be not as bad as you expected. But forget the saying, don't worry, be happy. Instead, my recommendation to you is worry the right way. It's better than not worrying at all. You see, worry can play an important role in your life, but it doesn't have to be destructive. Now, we're all wired to worry. That's because worry has an evolutionary benefit. It drew your attention to the fact that there are some things that you should be doing while there are other things that should be avoided. Those who worried correctly in the past survived. They evolved. But today, time spent worrying is time that you could spend identifying opportunities or taking actions. Worrying about the right things can motivate you, but if you find it unproductive, try to take your mind off those things by getting engaged in some other activity. I've learned the trick of limiting the amount of time I worry. I was taught the concept of telling myself to put a 5-minute, a 10-minute limit of worry time, and then forcing myself to move on by focusing on another task, engaging in something else, a different activity. Hey, it's a good trick to learn. Try that next time. Okay, I'm allowed to be cross. I'm allowed to be upset. Boy, I'm allowed to worry, but at 12 o'clock or 2:05 or whatever, I'm going to stop and I'm going to move on. And the last lesson I'd like to share with you today is this too shall pass. How often do we need to hear that the world as we know it's coming to an end before we realize that the world as we know it is not coming to an end? Now's the time to take action and set yourself up for the opportunities that are going to present themselves in 2022. And as I said earlier on, there are still opportunities in the property markets over the next years, but you've got to be much more careful moving forward. The rising tide won't lift all ships. Some properties are not going to increase as much in value. And as you've heard me say in these podcasts before, we're going to end up with a two-tier property market. So when this cycle eventually ends, you've got to own the right sort of properties, not be left with underperforming properties, because they're likely to languish for a long, long time. So if you want to take advantage of this cycle, if you want to build your financial independence, why not have a chat with my team at Metropole? Go to metropole.com.au, find out about what we do, leave us your details. As I mentioned earlier, it all starts by putting a strategic plan together for you, and then we'll help you implement the plan. What the plan's really doing is bringing your future into the present, allowing you to do something about it. By being strategic, you're much more likely to outperform the averages, and we'd love to be part of your ongoing wealth creation journey. metropole.com.au.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
I write a lot about money and property in my blogs. I discuss it in my podcasts, but when you get to know me, you'll realize that I believe true wealth is what you're left with when they take away all your money. Sure, money's important in some aspects of your life, but it's not important in others, is it? So in today's mindset moment, I'd like to share with you a list of things that you'll regret in the future if you don't do them now. It's a way of me emphasizing the point that money is important in those areas where it's important and not at all important in other areas of your life. So number one, put your health and wellness above everything else. There's an old saying, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. I think that's true. Number two, take the time to do the things that you love. Now this may sound cliche, but work less and play more. You'll never regret taking a vacation, engaging in a new hobby, or spending a day with those who make you happy. The third thing I'd like to remind you is to stop taking life so seriously. Why are you taking it so seriously anyway? When you think about it, most of the things you worried about in the past never really occurred, did they? The fourth thing I'd like to share with you is always say what you need to say. If you love somebody, tell them. If somebody hurt you, tell them. If you've got trouble expressing your feelings, write a letter, do an email. Make sure that those around you know each and every day how you feel. The fifth lesson is open up your mind to possibilities. If you have a closed mind, if you stay in your comfort zone, you'll never get to the next level. You'll never truly enjoy life. The sixth lesson I'd like to share is follow your own path, live a true life, one that's true to you. Stop comparing yourself to other people and stop trying to be a perfectionist. Stop living a life based on the expectation of others or what you think others are achieving. Because when you look at Facebook and you look at Instagram, you're seeing their highlight reel. You're not seeing all the bits on the cutting room floor. Another lesson to know is stop living in the past. Right now, you need to throw away the regrets from the past. It's gone. There's no point dwelling on what could have been. Doing so is only going to rob you of the joy of what's happening at the moment. The past doesn't exist other than a memory. It's a mental story, and it can't be changed, so move on. I guess that brings me to the next lesson, accept the things you can't change. Lesson 9 I'd like to share with you to show you that there are 12 things at least that are more important than money is practice mindful living. Mindful living will slow down time. It will enhance the present moment. It'll fill what could have otherwise been mundane days with awe and with joy. Appreciate what you've got. Be grateful for what you've got. The 10th lesson is stop chasing money, fame and possession. I know we crave wealth, prestige, fame and popularity. We crave material things, beautiful people, the next big toy, the shiny object. We mistakenly think that happiness is going to arrive when we meet these goals. Instead of enjoying our life, we seem to be in constant pursuit of something other than what we've already got, what we've got right now. At the end of your life, your expensive BMW, that's not what's going to be flashing through your mind. You're more likely going to be remembering about the memory of a loyal dog or a loved one. So stop chasing material possessions. There's no real happiness there, only an endless pursuit. And another lesson I'd like to mention to you is always practice gratitude. I've already said it briefly before, but you'll never ever be wealthy if you're not grateful for what we've got. And you live in the best country in the world, the best time in history. Enjoy it, appreciate it. And the last thing that's more important than money is love. Pay attention to all the sources of love in your life and you'll develop a growing sense of abundance of how much beauty surrounds you each day. So, remember, there are many things in this life more important than money. Now, I'm not sure when you're listening to this show, but it's either right at the end of 21 or hopefully early in 2022. And if so, I hope this is going to be a great year for you. And I look forward to bringing you the Michael Yardney podcast twice a week. If you haven't already, please subscribe on whatever app you're listening to. But in the month of January, we're going to be bringing you 3 shows a week, my summer series, enabling you to catch up with some of the old shows, because we've done close to 400 shows. So over time, lots of new listeners haven't had a chance to listen to some of the classic content that we're going to bring you again. I'll be back again real soon, but in the meantime, you can catch me on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney or join me in my private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and look for the Property Update private Facebook group. But if you got some benefit from these lessons and you know somebody else who would benefit, please tell them about the show as well. That would be doing me a real favor in my quest to make as many people as financially affluent as possible. As I said, I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?